I struggled a little bit this week as I was trying to come to terms with what I was being led to deliver as a message. I knew what scripture was on my heart and knew what I was to preach, but how was I to preach it and what was I to say? The week's been pretty busy. I was not feeling well earlier in the week, and school up at Duke has been pretty challenging this go-round. And then, of course, some demands at work and family and some other things that were happening. To be quite honest with you, I was pretty well fatigued and to a point of just being, I don't know what else I can do. And I don't know where the next minute's going to come from. But then Friday night at Duke, we always open our classes with a worship service there in Goodson Chapel. And we had a baptismal reaffirmation. And we were reminded of the power of our baptism and what it meant to be baptized in the Lord. And as we went on right here in the words, I mean, there was a longing in my heart, and I said, that's what I need. I need to feel that water again. I need to touch that water again and feel the power of the Holy Spirit that has been made available to each of us through our baptism. And there's just something about the power of this water. And what it can do for those places where we struggle, those places where we hurt, and those places where we face uncertainty. Because as I touch this water, I remember that this is not about something that I have done, but this is something that my God did for me out of His grace and His mercy, and it's something that He's done for each one of us who have received baptism. And for those who have not, He stands ready to pour out His grace and mercy on you with baptism. This week we hear from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 16 and 21 through 22. And this is the word of our Lord brought to us, the people of the Lord. As the people were filled with expectations and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We hear these words this morning about John the Baptist as he's out in the wilderness, surrounded by people who were curious, to say the least, and they had a few questions. Because in their hearts, they had come to see this man who was strangely dressed in camel hair clothes, of all things, and he had a leather belt wrapped around him, and he was living off locust and wild honey in the woods. And they came to see him, and as we draw that imagery, the only thing that I can say is that, well, he probably was pretty different. As if you think of clothes made out of camel hair, got a belt wrapped around him, and then eating these things in the woods, he was probably a sight to behold. But the question on their heart was a little reluctance, but they had this question on their heart, could this possibly be the promised Messiah? I mean, after all, he was different. Could this be the promised Messiah? But then John speaks. And I want you to think for a minute about what it was probably like. He's out in the middle of the wilderness. He's dressed in clothes different than anybody else.
And then this booming voice comes out of this man. And what he's saying are words of truth. People had come to see him because he was different. But when they encounter him, they are exposed to the truth in Jesus Christ through the words that he shared. John said to them that, "I can only baptize you with water. That's all that I can do. I can baptize you with water. But the one who is more powerful, the one who is bigger, the one who is greater, the one who is above all things, the Messiah, is coming. I'm not worthy to touch his feet, to untie his sandals. But when he comes, he will touch you. He will touch you in a way that you've never been touched before, because he will baptize you with not only water, but with the fire and with the Holy Spirit." I want you to think just for a minute about what's happening here. As John confidently offers his prophetic message, he offers this message about Jesus Christ. He had attracted people to him because he was different. He's offering this message. And through this interaction with people, he engages them in an invitation to be changed. An invitation to be changed when he described the baptism available at his hands versus through the one of our Almighty God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. And what John's message was doing then and continues into this day, it resonates into today, is it prepared the way for the work of Jesus Christ. Now when we think about how it prepared, first it brought people to John, brought people to hear this message, and through his preaching, through his teaching, he helped people to understand a little bit more about what baptism meant. And Christ himself also came to be baptized. We heard that with the children this morning. But Christ, despite being the Son of God, was baptized at the hands of John the Baptist. And after he was baptized, and while he was praying, the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And then these amazing words were heard: "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." How we each long to hear those words from our Heavenly Father: "With you I am well pleased." Why did Jesus need to be baptized? Why did our Savior, the Savior of mankind, the one who was without sin, the one who was without fault, born of heaven itself, why did he need to be baptized? Why did he need forgiveness? He was baptized to symbolize the start of his ministry. About the age of 30 is when Jesus started his official ministry. Now, we know there were times and things that occurred before then, but about the age of 30 forward is what we see and hear most about for those next 3 years up until, around 3 years up until the time of his death, the things that happened. But he was baptized to symbolize that official beginning of his ministry, the ministry of bringing the word of salvation to all people, making it available to all people. Didn't matter who you were, where you were from, how you looked, rich, poor, it didn't matter. The message of salvation was for all people. The sacrament of baptism was for all people, those who sought forgiveness in their lives and sought to earnestly live in an obedient way to our Heavenly Father. That's the message that he was preparing to take out. But he was also baptized to show support and to validate John the Baptist's ministry. He was also baptized to identify with our humanness, the transgressions that we have, to identify with our sinful nature, so that He was prepared to take on those sins for each one of us, that our slate would be wiped clean. And He was also baptized to give us that example that we follow in our own baptism and the change that we experienced. What Christ does is offer that chance for each of us to experience something great. As we dive ourselves and we experience a rebirth and a renewal into something new with our baptism, this opportunity, this invitation to change, is really one of those things that marks us as Christians. As we say, we are no longer of this world, but we are of Jesus. We're no longer of this world and filled with the thoughts that govern us here, but we're filled with the Holy Spirit, that fire to make a difference and to offer the love of Jesus to everyone else that we come in contact with. The baptismal covenant that we enter, that we see described in our book of worship as Methodist, is about how we enter as Christians. And the covenant that we enter into, how we enter into that community of the body of Christ, and that baptism is God's word to us, proclaiming our adoption by grace and proclaiming our adoption by the Word of God. But our baptism is also a response to the Lord, where we are essentially saying that we promise to be obedient, and we promise to live in faith, and we promise to live in love. When we're baptized, when we renew our baptismal vows, we are professing our faith in an outward way. We're repenting of our sin in an outward, in a very public way. And we're demonstrating our intent to live obediently in the Lord. When we receive our baptism, our sins are washed away. Through our repentance, our relationship with Jesus Christ grows deeper. And our faith and our love become our governing and guiding thoughts and emotions. Through the baptism, through our baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. And we're given a new chance. We're given a new start through the water and through the Spirit. Maybe some of you today struggle with some conflict in your heart, or some burden that you bear is extremely wearisome. And if so, during our closing hymn today, I invite you to come forward, to touch the water as a reminder of the salvation offered to each of us in Christ, as a reminder of the amazing power that our baptism has on our lives. Because that cleansing and that renewing power of the water reminds us of the places of sin and hurt in our own lives that have been washed away. While that promise of the Holy Spirit invites us into a deeper relationship with the Heavenly Father. Today we are encouraged to experience that symbolic peace of that dove that we read about in the Scripture when we say, "Yes, Lord." Today we're also reminded that our Savior baptized us with the fire as well. A fire not of hurt, but a fire in our heart that puts us into motion to go forth and telling the truth about Jesus Christ, and inviting others to be in community with the body of Christ. And that's something that as a church, as a religious institution, as Christians, that we must take seriously. Because if we're not inviting people to church, if we are not inviting people to experience the saving grace of Jesus Christ, then where will we be next year? Where will we be 5 years from now? Where will we be 10 years from now? The mission has been placed before us. The fire has been ignited in our hearts. So today I say to you, let us be different. Let us be different in the same sense or a similar sense as John the Baptist, that we might attract the curious to our church, that we might attract the curious into conversation with us, and then let us offer the baptism of our Lord to all who have yet to accept Him. Today, friends, let us be the church that we're called to be. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.